This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. High-quality early education is often inaccessible for Milwaukee families. That's the bottom line of a new report commissioned by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. It finds that half of all Milwaukee children don't have equitable access to the early education that's crucial to a healthy life. Low-income families of color are especially affected by the shortcomings in the city's child care landscape. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation is planning to use this report to steer its philanthropy as it seeks to improve early education opportunities. Jeannie Fenceroy is senior manager at the foundation, and Andrea Libber is with the Parenting Network. They join WUWM education reporter Emily Files to discuss the issue.
The Greater Milwaukee Foundation commissioned this report with IFF, which is a community development financial institution, to look at the supply and demand that existed in the city of Milwaukee and to get a clear assessment of what was happening with early childhood care and education and the landscape in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. And why is early childhood education a priority for the Greater Milwaukee Foundation?
Early childhood education is a priority for the Greater Milwaukee Foundation because we know that a child begins learning from birth. And so much happens in those early years through the child's senses, through exploring, through play. And we know that's such an important social determinant. If a child has high quality child care and education, we know that that little person is going to grow up to reach his or her full potential.
Those are such crucial years. So what did you find about the opportunities and the access or lack of access that exists in Milwaukee?
Well, we found some pretty startling information, which there were four high-level issues. One is that quality is hard to access for many families, but especially for economically disadvantaged families. The cost can be a barrier for many families to access. So even if they live near a child care provider that has slots for their little person, the cost may be prohibitive. Also, the hours of operation. There are many different types of families, people working second and third shift. Many of these early childhood educators and providers are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if your job has different types of hours or weekend hours, it's very challenging for families to access the hours that they may need to have care for their little one. And then finally, the ages served. We know there's a tremendous shortage of slots for infant and toddlers, and that is age birth to age three. There's about a 14,000 slot shortage in that area.
So, Andrea, you helped lead some focus groups or organize some focus groups of parents of young children to talk about the challenges that they face finding good quality care. So what do parents do when all of these barriers exist? What kind of workarounds do they end up finding? What do they do to find their child care?
They compromise. So while parents are looking and would love and prioritize want a high-quality early childhood educational opportunity for their children, they have to find one that is open when they need it, that is located somewhere they can get to and from and still get to work. It has to be a place they can afford. Or they're unable to work or go to school or do what it is that they need to do to care for their families. And that's a whole other list of challenges that arise.
And what else did you hear from parents? What really stood out to you?
What really stood out to me is that parents really care about, and it's really important for them to have a relationship with their provider and to trust their provider. They need to feel that their child is safe and that they can depend and rely on that provider.
Mm-hmm. The summary of the findings includes the story of someone who you call Linda, a mother of a young child. Could one of you explain Linda's story, the challenges she encountered?
Yeah. So Linda's story to me is very cyclical. She finds a job, and the job starts at 6 a.m., and there are no childcare centers open yet at that time. So she needs to rely on a family member, dropping them off at 5:15 in the morning, and then that family member gets them to their childcare center, and so that right off the bat is an added expense that's not included. She ended up losing her job because she has more than one child. And then she lost her subsidy from Wisconsin Shares. And so then she was unable to use childcare and then couldn't go look for another job until she could find someone else to care for her children. She did end up succeeding, and she leaned on community supports and friends, but it was very, very challenging. And in that moment, she couldn't pay her rent, and she was evicted, and she moved back in with parents. So you just see how it all, it's like a deck of cards. As soon as you pull one card, it can all fall down.
You mentioned in there the Wisconsin subsidies that are available for family, for low-income families to help pay for childcare. But this report says that only 45% of income-eligible families receive financial assistance for early childcare. Why is that?
The first answer I have is the process is incredibly complicated. So the proof that you need of your income eligibility, birth certificates of everything you need to prove that you need this help, it's hard to get. And then where you have to go in order to obtain the subsidy is only open during the day, where you have to bring your children with you. The entire process is really challenging.
And in terms of cost, your report says that federal guidelines state that families should spend no more than 7% of their income on early childhood education for it to be considered affordable. Jeannie, do you have the numbers in front of you of what families are actually spending and how that stacks up to their income?
I do have the numbers. And it's closer to 20%, especially for economically disadvantaged families, that they're spending 20% of their income on childcare. Andrea did a beautiful job of illustrating that while Linda was securing childcare for her children, she also was evicted because she had to pay one thing or the other. And unfortunately, I don't think that that's an uncommon challenge that parents have to face and make tough decisions.
I just want to go back to this report, like the summary of what you found here, because it's pretty striking. Half of all Milwaukee children lack access to the early childhood education needed to support their future success. Half of all Milwaukee children. Parents face overwhelming barriers, limited quality, high cost, scarcity of programs serving infants and toddlers, insufficient hours of operation, restricted geographic access. Communities of color are especially affected. What else in that summary do you want to kind of emphasize and highlight that came out of this report that maybe we weren't so clear on before?
Well, despite everything that you just listed, Emily, these are issues that can be resolved through intentional policies that may help with wage increases. Philanthropy is one piece of the puzzle to help mitigate some of these challenges. We, the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, have a grant-making priority where we're looking at how to upgrade facilities for childcare education providers so that they can add on to their buildings or improve playground space or improve classrooms so that they can open up spaces for infant and toddler care. With that said, even when childcare providers have space for infant and toddlers, they do not have teachers that are available to hire. So there is also a workforce shortage. But there's some great things, initiatives that are going on around workforce. There's a great program called Leading Men Fellows, which is in its second year here in Milwaukee. And it's working with a cohort of 10 young men primarily African-American and Latino, who are just graduated from high school, and they are trained through instructors at MATC and other instructors who are well-versed in literacy, and they work in 3K and 4K classrooms. They're placed in classrooms in MPS, as well as Maleka Early Learning Care Center, as well as Next Door. It's a really exciting program, which the Greater Milwaukee Foundation has invested in. And so we're really excited about many of the stakeholders that are working on all the different issues that you just listed. Greater Milwaukee Foundation, although this report is really going to ground us in informing how we should do our grant making. There are so many practitioners and partners and organizations in Milwaukee that have been doing this work for decades. However, with that said, the chasm of need is much greater than the resources that we have to deploy at this point.
So what investments do you think would be most effective in tackling these problems?
Well, we're looking at two primary investments, as I mentioned, facilities upgrades. So, for example, United Community Center on the south side, located in the Muskego Way area, they just recently acquired a child care center, and they're going to be serving children birth to three, which is really needed in that community. There are more Latino families living in that community than anywhere else in the city. And so we've already made an investment in helping with their building and specifically their parking lot. They had this driveway that was just sort of crumbling and it was all uphill and imagine in the snow and the ice. Not ideal, not very safe for parents or children, especially parents walking with strollers. So we invested a grant to help to repave that parking lot. But we do a lot with facilities upgrades. Then we're also working with, we actually have a grant that's opening on Monday, February 24th, for recruitment and retention and professional development of early childhood educators, specifically for infant and toddler care. This is our biggest shortage in the city of Milwaukee. And so we really want to begin to tackle that problem.
It seems like this kind of comprehensive needs assessment could fuel the efforts to improve the early childhood education landscape in Milwaukee because it is, you know, data that you can point to and say these are the needs and these are the specific areas in the city that are most lacking in those opportunities.
Yes, I think you're right. I think one thing this report will be a catalyst for is, as I mentioned before, there are many committed, tireless people already involved in this space. What this report allows us to do is, one, to share with the general public that this is indeed an issue, and then having those various stakeholders come together and say, oh, I've had so many people come up to me who are practitioners in early childhood care and education and say, you know, thank you for lifting up this report. I don't think people always knew, you know, the landscape of early childhood care and education. People sort of muddle through when they had their kids when they were little. And now we are having many more convenings right at the Greater Milwaukee Foundation to talk with one another about how can we work together to mitigate a lot of the challenges that you listed earlier.
Is there anything else that either of you want to add or point out from this report?
One thing I want to appreciate about this report is the attention paid to parent voice and parent stories, and that I really appreciate IFF and the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Milwaukee Succeeds, everybody making sure that parents' needs are as important as the data that they're seeing. And I look forward to how Parent Voice can continue to contribute to this landscape, to the direction that this movement is headed.
We just hope that this report will make people aware of some of the challenges that exist, but that they're not intractable. That we believe, you know, Milwaukee as a community, we're all neighbors. That if we come together around these initiatives, we will be able to improve the education landscape specifically for our littlest people in the community, so that this city can be the thriving city that it ought to be.
Jeannie Fenceroy is Senior Manager of Education and Scholarships at the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. Andrea Libber is Director of Prevention Advocacy at the Parenting Network, and they spoke with WUWM's education reporter, Emily Files.